This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 23rd of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news today, including what the fallout would be if Bayer stopped producing glyphosate. And what does planting progress look like in southern Indiana so far this spring? We'll take a look on the Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Also coming up today, Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a mostly dry forecast today, except possibly in the north. Dry tomorrow, too. And grain and oilseed markets were mixed yesterday. Soybeans did go higher. Arlen Suderman has expert analysis. Coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture? Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
Bayer may stop producing glyphosate, and a planting update from southern Indiana. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Bayer says it may stop producing glyphosate, the world's most popular weed killer, unless it can get court protection against lawsuits blaming the herbicide for causing cancer.
Yeah, I mean, it would be it'd be hugely detrimental.
That's Tommy Butts, Purdue Extension weed scientist. He's a guest on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast from Hoosier Ag Today.
I'm sure we have to do some research into what the economics and everything would look like down the path here, but at least from a weed science standpoint, you know, we talk a lot about glyphosate resistance and how, you know, we've lost effectiveness on certain things, but man, glyphosate is still really good on a whole lot of different weeds. And it's in probably just about every single mix that we have in soybeans and corn.
The Wall Street Journal says Bayer currently produces about 40% of the world's glyphosate needs. If Bayer gets out of the glyphosate game, it could be a big hit to farmers' checkbooks.
It doesn't mean that we would completely lose glyphosate, right? It would be Bayer that is shutting down their manufacturing in the United States. Depending on trade wars and other things, you know, imports could still very likely be impacted too, but we still should have supply somewhere. But what that does, you know, to the cost, instead of being, you know, $3 to $5 an acre, maybe all of a sudden Roundup becomes a $20 an acre treatment, which would be just crazy to think about.
Hear more from Tommy Butts as he joins soybean Sean Castile and Dan Cornquinn on the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, exclusively from Hoosier Ag Today. Find it in our app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you call Keystone, you're not just making a connection. You're dialing into service, solutions, and success. We're not just here to meet today's needs. We're building for tomorrow, advancing technology, growing opportunities, and driving innovation with the best team in the Midwest. Keystone is more than a business. It's a commitment to our farmer owners, our rural communities, and the future we're all cultivating together. Call the co-op that leads, serves, grows, and embraces the cooperative advantage.
USDA tells us that 2% of Indiana's corn is in the ground, 3% of the state's soybeans have been planted. CJ Miller checks in with a farmer near Salem to let us know how things are going in southern Indiana.
We have gotten started. We've got about 500 acres of beans to plant, which we've planted about 300 of them. So, yeah, we feel like we've got a pretty good start there.
And that's Greg Rowland, who farms near Campbellsburg in Washington County.
We raise popcorn for preferred popcorn. We haven't started on popcorn yet. We would like to see this ground get in a little better shape and warm up a little more before we start it.
He says they received a significant amount of rainfall in early April, which has caused a few minor setbacks.
We got 7-8 inches of rain. The creeks and rivers got out of their banks and flooded, closed a few roads. But yeah, they seem to go down pretty quick. We do have some high and dry ground, and that's kind of what let us be able to get started. The one thing that we have struggled with now is getting chicken litter spread. We still have a couple hundred acres of litter to get spread, and we would definitely like to already have that done.
What sets Greg's farm apart from many others is his passion for using a variety of different cover crops.
Where we're putting our soybeans, we pretty much go with a straight cereal rye. But where we're going with our popcorn, this time we use some barley on part of the acres, and the other part of those acres we did use the cereal rye, but we still use vetch, crimson clover, some kale. We had radishes in there, so that's still a big part of our program. We've been able to cut back on chemicals.
Check out my full chat with Washington County farmer Greg Rowland. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a mostly dry day today as we move through midweek, but I am watching a very minor disturbance that has wanted to move out of northern Illinois and to plague northern Indiana just a little bit. For the most part, State Road 14 North is the area that's going to be under the influence of this thing. Clouds is what we're mostly looking at, but I won't rule out a spit or a sprinkle, a scattered shower in one or two spots. Now, you get south of State Road 14, and look, it's a beautiful setup for the rest of your Wednesday. Partly to mostly sunny skies should emerge. Yes, you may see a few fair weather clouds coming from that little disturbance to the north, but it's not a big deal. Everybody is dry for Thursday. We turn out partly sunny and mild here again. Strong west and southwest winds as temperatures climb up upper 70s and lower 80s. This is ahead of our next weather system that shows up on Friday. It starts with scattered showers probably mid to late morning, and then we see a well-organized batch of rain through the afternoon and evening. It's done by sunrise on Saturday morning. Right now saying a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of precipitation, coverage 100%. The balance of Saturday and Sunday, then Monday starts to see some clouds around before a next round of moisture pops up. I won't rule out scattered showers and thunderstorms Monday afternoon. Tuesday looks to be more active with a system working in late in the day. Overnight Tuesday night through Wednesday we see showers and thunderstorms, and now I may have to put those in on Thursday as well, the first, before we dry down for the second and into the third. Another frontal boundary trying to come through late the fourth into the fifth. So we've got plenty of moisture. If you'll notice here, I'm just kind of backing these things up one right after the other. If we put any dryness in between at all, we're talking 1 to 2 days. And that's it. Seems like it's going to be a little touch and go with regard to large scale field work as we move through the late April and early May timeframe. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Mixed grains and oilseeds, only beans higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. The markets are powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For more information, visit purplewave.com. Numbers coming up, we begin with market analysis. I grabbed that from Arlen Suderman, StoneX, at the end of the session. Crude oil and the stock market do a Tuesday reversal. The dollar index was up and the grains felt the pressure, Arlen, but soybeans bucked the trend a little bit in the grain and oilseed markets with a higher move, strengthening a bit after the middle of the session. Certainly no help, though, from soy oil and meal both down. So what was the push higher for beans?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. It initially got some of its strength from soy oil, with continued rumors that we could hear from the EPA as early as this week about their biomass diesel production mandate, which is expected to be a positive boost for the market. But that weakness, you know, eventually developed as prices pulled back, but soybeans stayed higher. And I would credit that strength to what also helped support the stock market today. And that was a report out of a private meeting in which Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent spoke, in which he reportedly stated that he thought we were near a thawing place in a relationship with China, that the current tensions over the trade war were unsustainable, and he thought it would de-escalate soon. And so that raises some hopes that we might see some type of trade agreement, and soybeans would be seen as a possible benefactor of that. Notice that the gains were not huge, though, as there is still some skepticism about that.
Yeah, we really aren't in a place where we expect to see huge gains in any grain or oil seed market. And in the case of losses in corn and wheat, they weren't huge either, but we did see some weakness. What's that about?
Well, I think it was overall just a lack of a story. When you look at the corn, soybeans, and wheat markets, they're still largely in a sideways trading range for this month, as they have been fairly resilient in the midst of all of this turmoil in the outside markets over the tariff war, but neither do they have a reason to sustain any rallies. If you look at wheat, we got some early support overnight from lower crop ratings, but those ratings are expected to improve over the next week or two as rains fall in some really dry areas of the plains, and we dry out in some of the really wet areas of the Midwest soft red winter wheat belt. When you look at corn, we had good planting progress last week. That's being interrupted this week with rains over central and western parts of the Midwest. Those areas need the rain, but planting delays really aren't a concern right now because the forecast is looking drier as we go into the month of May, which should allow for ideal planting conditions.
Let's take a peek over at the protein sector. Pretty solid day in both cattle and hogs. What do you make of that?
Yeah, overall, we're seeing good strength indicating some demand. Starting with the hogs, we're entering into that season now when supplies tend to back off over the next several months and lower hog numbers seasonally. But demand tends to pick up, and we've got some premiums now in those summer months, which is fairly normal for the June, July, and August contracts. But now we're waiting for the cash market and the product market to really reflect that. But there's optimism there. When you look at the cattle market, think about where we're at fundamentally. Consumer sentiment is really low right now because of the trade war. But yet the consumer is still buying. Overall, beef numbers, cattle numbers are down. Placements over the first quarter of the year are 4% down from last year. We're starting the very early signs of rebuilding cow herd, which is means holding back heifers and tightening it up some more. But actual beef supply is good, near record levels because of high carcass weights and some pretty large imports. But yet the choice cutout is still traded at $334 as of last night. That's well above the $296 where we were a year ago at this time. And with consumer demand so poor, they're still paying up.
Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX.com. On the Hat Tuesday Market Review, down in corn and wheat, up a little in beans at the end of the session. May corn 6 cents lower, 4.75¾. July 4.83¼, 6¾ down. D 6½ lower, 4.58. A nickel and a half higher on the May beans, 10.35. July 10.46, up 4½. And November up 3/4, 10.26½. A 3 cent loss on the May wheat, 5.35½. Proteins solid. June live cattle, 206.27, up 2.52. June lean hogs, $100.27, up 2.22. I'm Ian DeEubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.